Well, thankful for Preston and Robin being here, right? Thankful they're here. Thank you, guys. Thank you for worshiping with us, them coming and leading us today. We're also grateful to have and want to give a big Grace Point welcome to the Camp Copus summer staff. Right there. We're glad you guys are here. Welcome. Welcome to Grace Point, Brad and Denise Springer. I think Matt's back there. I see Matt right there. So we're glad you guys are here this morning to worship with us as you kick off the summer. We will be out there tomorrow morning with Children's Camp. Grace Point Children's Camp will be out there this week. So I'm looking forward to a great week. So just be praying towards that as we're out there. We have over 100 kids now that are going. We're up, that's about 30 or 40 more from last year. So it's been a great blessing, and things have been planned. Julie's been working hard with her staff. So looking forward to starting camp off tomorrow morning at Camp Copus. Grateful the summer staffers are able to worship with us here this morning. Our theme at Grace Point for this year is the extra mile. The extra mile. And what we're praying towards and what I'm hoping for and praying towards that all of us, including me, that the Lord brings that truth or that challenge to my mind in a number of different situations. That when you find yourself facing a situation, that the Lord prompts and asks, what is the extra mile here? What's it look like? Go the extra mile here. That may be in marriage relationship. That may be just in ministry and serving and encouraging. Just a number of different things. You're asking yourself the question, okay, what does the extra mile look like here? And then, we're talking about today, James, verse by verse through the book of James, is then do. Be doers of the word. To do the extra mile. When God says, this is what that looks like. Do this. Walk this way. Don't just listen to me telling you that. Be a doer. Be a doer of the word. So Jesus saves us to eternal life. The gospel message, the good news. That we are separated from God because of our sin. God sent Jesus, his son, to die on a cross for our sins, and he rose again, proving he was God. And if we repent of our sin, confess and believe that Christ died on the cross for our sin, we will be saved. So he saves us to eternal life. But here's the other deal. Jesus saves us to the abundant life also. So yes, he saves us to eternal life. No question. But he also saves us to the abundant life. He said it himself in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life. And, so it doesn't just stop there, and have it abundantly. So then why is it that so many people, so many Christians, really aren't living and experiencing the abundant life? This morning, I want to show you, I think, one key piece to that puzzle, if you will, of why many times we miss abundant life. We life with Christ, but abundant. We miss that many times. And this is what James is talking about all through James, and what we've been talking about for the last few weeks is becoming a doer of the word. Becoming a doer of the word of God. What God tells us. Not just listening. That's important. As we're going to see. But then doing the word of God. So this thing breaks out pretty easy this morning. Fairly quickly. There's three takeaways you're going to see. We need to take time to listen. We need to take time to look. And we need to take time to see. All right, all these are related around the Word of God. Now, you have to get the fullness of what's happening, you have to remember the context as you come to the Scriptures, right? Anytime to this morning, James 1:19, which we talked about a few weeks ago. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Okay? We use that verse in a lot of ways, and I don't think that's necessarily wrong. Hey, we need to listen better, okay? Think before you speak, listen, that type of thing, that's good. Okay, and a lot of times we use that verse. But don't miss the context of what's happening when he wrote that. A lot of people do, okay? When he says in James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. again, Grace Point, he's talking about how we are to come to the Bible. That's what he's talking about. Okay, and that's what we're talking about today. He continues that thought, verse 19, down through verse 25. We won't get that far today. We hit 23 and 24. That's what he's talking about. So what I'm going to share with you today, the context of it, all right, the framework is, as you come to the Bible, he starts off by saying, be quick to listen. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. Then he's going to say, which we learned about, now listen, don't just listen though. Be quick to listen, but don't just listen. Do something with what you heard. And that, I think, is why many times as believers, we miss the abundant life because we are not faithful doers of the Word of God that leads us to that abundant life. So this morning, I want to give you these three takeaways that you can, something you can take with you, okay? And we go to verse 23. Let's start there. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. So let's just stop right there. Just again, to remind you, we talked about this before, but takeaway number one is you have to make time to listen. Take time to listen. You have to listen specifically to God through His Word. So we have to develop this discipline to be under the Word of God every single day so we can be doers of the Word. Now that can be through devotional time. That can be through a small group time. You're doing that here today. You have made time, first and foremost, in worship God, right? And to listen to the teaching of His Word. Okay, so that's the first step. If we're going to be doers, we have to take time to listen to God's Word. And then we choose to embrace it and we choose to be doers. So that is step one. Now, if we just stop there, though, here's the deal. If we just stop there, James says that if we're just hearers and not doers, James says you are deceiving yourselves. You're deceiving yourselves. I didn't say it. That's what James says. That's what God says in His Word. Let's just say hypothetically, I decided I'm going to get in really good physical shape. Hypothetically. So in order to do that, what I decide to do is I'm going to join a gym. There's a lot of gyms in this area. So in order to find the one that I think fits perfectly for me, I'm going to go visit all of them. So I visit all the different gyms, and I finally find one that I like. Gym. Okay, just so you can, without me drawing it, you'll get there, I know, right? So I find one that I like, and I join it. And that's good. That's the first step. Man, you need to do that. Yes. Join that gym. And then I decide, you know what? Since I'm gonna get in shape, man, I'm going to go buy the exercise clothes so I look like I know what I'm doing. And so I go out there, I buy sweatpants, I buy shoes, not just one pair. You need more than one if you're going to do it right. I mean, there's training shoes, there's running shoes, there's all kinds of shoes. I buy the shoes, I buy the sweats, I buy the shirt, I buy all of its Under Armour because they're going to have Under Armour in heaven. And so that's what I tell Karen, I'm taking it all with me, so don't worry about it. So I'm all dressed out. I got the stuff to get into shape. I even bought some magazines. And I sit and read the magazines and I read all about exercising. Man, they break it all down. Man, they tell you how many sets you would do and how much weight she's using. All this stuff, man. I read all about that stuff. Matter of fact, while I was reading all the magazines that tell me about getting into shape, I also noticed in there that they have all this stuff about supplements and all this stuff. So I bought protein and I put it into a really cool shaker and I carried it around with me. And then I'm ready to go to the gym. So I go. I mean, I look awesome. In a spirit of humility, I say that, but I look awesome. And I walk into the gym. And I put my bag down. And then I open my lawn chair. And I set it down there, and I sit down in all my Under Armour with my cool shaker, and I sit down in my lawn chair, and I start reading the magazines again about what I need to do. I see everybody else doing stuff, and I thought I might encourage them. So I kind of tell them, hey, a couple more over there. Try more. Hey, over there, you're doing it wrong. Run more. Run fast. You know, I'm not doing it, but I know how to do it. As a matter of fact, while I'm sitting there, a trainer comes over to me, and he says, hey, let me talk to you about those magazines, man. Let me show you, man. He even shows me how. I watch him. He shows me how to do it. I'm not going to do it, but he shows me how to do all the exercises, man. He's training me. He's telling me all this stuff. I think, man, I appreciate you sharing all of that stuff. And I'm there in my lawn chair for an hour and 15 minutes. And I decide, well, I think I'm done. And I pick up my bag, and I fold up my lawn chair, and I walk out the door. And as I'm walking to my car, I say to myself, I tell you what, man, just a couple more months of that, and I am going to be in incredible physical condition. And you all would go, Pastor Dave, man, you are deceiving yourself if you think that coming, sitting, and watching is going to get you in peak physical condition. It's not going to happen. James says the exact same thing about the spiritual life. He says, look, if we're just hearers and not doers, he says, James 1, then you're deceiving yourselves. And I think that's where the disconnect is at times. Now, look. Being here is a great thing. Listening to Bible teachers, watching Bible teachers on TV, if they're the right ones. It's being in small groups, having your devotional time. Those are needed things, no question. That's take one more. We have to create that time to listen. But then we have to do something with it, right? I mean, we're deceiving ourselves. If we think that our kids are going to learn a gospel truth and embrace gospel truth and start to live that out in their young lives, if we are just listening and they are not seeing us do the Word of God, we're deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves if we think just listening to the Word of God and not doing it is going to create a strong foundation. So when the storms come, Matthew chapter 7, and when the storms come, Jesus used that parable, and they come. If we have not been hearing and doing, Matthew says, the storms will come and great will be the fall for those who hear but don't do. So this is why I think we miss, this is why I think we can be committed to hearing, but not experience this abundant life because it stops. We short circuit that thing. We're not doing, right? We're not doing the Word of God. The context it starts with is taking time to listen. Takeaway number two. So we take time to listen, then we have to look. We look into the Word of God, which is going to then, we're going to look into ourselves, and to see is the last one, okay? For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. So takeaway number two is you have to take that time to look, okay? Look into the Word and look at yourself. Now here's the analogy. It's pretty self-explanatory, right? He's saying somebody who looks in a mirror. So this morning, every one of us in here, I think probably, every one of us in here got up in the morning, you walked into the bathroom, and you looked into the mirror to see the damage from the night before. And you have a choice. It's kind of what he's saying. We look in the mirror, and then we take time to fix things. We see her out of place. You don't just, look and go, yeah, whew, rough night, and then walk away and come to church. You don't do that. That's what he's saying here. If you listen to the Word of God, and then God, you look into the Word of God, and God speaks to you, and then you walk away and do nothing with that. He said, that's just like a person going. Now understand the context here also of mirrors in that day. I think this is important because this talks about the, when he says he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. So mirrors in that day, James was writing, was not like mirrors were today, where they have this clear image. In that day, they were very tarnished images, and it was very difficult sometimes to even see a reflection. You were never going to get a clear one. And so a lot of times they would have to hold that mirror up, and they would have to almost stoop down, literally, to see well into that mirror, and they never got a good image. You could never see clearly like we can today. And they would have to look intently to see. Now, I think this is, you don't have to take time to turn there, but I think this is the same idea that Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to this. When he says, verse 12, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." They knew exactly what he was talking about. "But then, face to face," I think he's talking about in heaven, in the presence of God. "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." So here's what he's saying. What he's saying is that I can't see everything now. I can't see clearly now this side of heaven. We only know in part. That's why sometimes we go, oh my gosh, something happens and you go, man, that one's hard to explain, Lord. I don't understand that one. That's a tough one. I can't get my head around. Because we see in a mirror dimly. Because we only know part of the story this side of heaven. There will be a day face to face when he gives truth and reveals all. And at that point you go, yes, yes. Right now God gives it all to you. You'll go, what in the world? It makes no... All through scriptures, we see this, Habakkuk and others, where they ask God, have questions, and God answers it. And you know what happens, man? The answers he gives just create more questions. So God, we don't know the whole story right now, and we won't know the whole story because we see it in a mirror dimly. We only know part. One day we'll know full. He'll explain it all. Until then, what do? We learn to trust God. How does that happen? Looking intently into his word. And then what? Then doing the word of God. So we take time to look, and then we're looking at ourselves. It's not a casual glance, right? We're looking just like we look in the mirror. We see what we want to change. We recognize that as we look in the mirror. We need to make that change. We look into the Bible. Remember, this is how you come to the Bible. You come to the Bible. God speaks to you. Sometimes it's affirmation. Sometimes it's conviction. Sometimes it's rebuke, whatever. And then you, as God speaks, then you do what it is he's spoken to you. Warren Wiersbe, who's a writer, says this: "Some people think that hearing is the same as doing, and it is not. We Christians enjoy substituting reading for doing, or even talking for doing. We hold endless committee meetings and conferences about topics like evangelism and church growth and think we have made progress. While there's certainly nothing wrong with conferences and committee meetings, they are not a substitute for doing." Yeah, those things are needed. I mean, I get it. That's my world, church growth stuff and evangelism, all those conferences. Those are needed. But again, they're not a substitute for doing. And that's what he's saying, that we need to do the Word of God. We take time to listen. We take time then to look into the Word of God through our Bible study and our teaching, and then look into our own self. And then we want to make sure that we are seeing well, that we see well. And that's the last one. Takeaway number three, take time to see. Take time to see, okay? I think first and foremost, to see what God says through his word. And see ourselves, see the situation, to see rightly. So on Easter, this past Easter, I talked to you just really briefly, and I want to expand on it. I talked to you about seeing with eyes of faith and seeing with eyes of fear. So I want to expand on that, this last takeaway, okay? The story goes, Numbers 13 and 14, the Israelites have come to the edge of the promised land. They're ready to go in. Moses sends in 12 spies to check it out. The 12 go in, and as Numbers 13 and 14 tell us, 12 go in, they all come back. 10 of them come and say, "Not going to happen, man. No way. Giants. Huge. Fortified cities. We can't do it." 2 of them come back and say, "We can take them. Eyes of fear, eyes of faith. How do you see things today? And that's important because one of the greatest human factors, one of the greatest human factors that influences your life is the way that you see things. Get this. Oh. The way that you see things has huge impact on you. The way that you see other people, the way that you see your job. I mean, how you see your job has great impact on how you're going to do your job. The way you see your husband or wife, if you see them as your enemy, it will negatively impact your marriage. That's how you see things. Instead of the partner that God's given to you, and I'm going to see the gift and the goodness in them and not the negative. Right? See, again, how you see things greatly influences your life. How you see other people, how you see your job, how you see your problems, how you see your past. How you see your past has a huge influence on your life today. How you see your future and how you see yourself greatly influences your life. It's one of the single greatest influences is how you see things. That's why this story from it, there's a ton, just the two things I want to pull from it. The one thing centered around two ways of looking is so important. You and I, we see either we're going to see with eyes of fear or we're going to see with eyes of faith. Now, listen, we will not see with eyes of faith apart from looking intently into the Word of God. Okay, these are tied in, abundant life, tied in. Eyes of faith, tied in. Eyes of fear, then we are moving away. We're not intently looking at the Word of God. We're not doing the Word of God. And we start to get afraid because we are looking through our own eyes. We are evaluating based on what we see in front of us and not on seeing how God would see that or what the Word of God has said to me or reminded me of who God is. We've forgotten about that. Now, in Numbers chapter 13, there's three things. This last part right here. That resulted in seeing with the eyes of fear. It happens to you and me too if we do this. If we see with the eyes of fear instead of the eyes of faith, which happens when we are not intently looking into the Word of God and doing what God's Word says. This is one thing that happens. We miss the abundant life because eyes of fear instead of eyes of faith. So number one, here's the first thing. Numbers chapter 13, as the 10 came back and said, we can't do this thing, they misunderstood and underestimated what God could do. That's the first thing. And that's what we do also. So this group, these 10 who came back, man, they misunderstood and they underestimated the power of God and what God could do. So in Numbers chapter 13 is where it kind of is where it begins. So in Numbers chapter 13, they have returned back. And in verse 27, listen to this. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So here's the deal on that. Here's what they're saying. So God said, the promised land I will give to you, amazing land, it flows with milk and honey. So these guys went in, they come back and they go, yeah, here it is. And they didn't say it, but they were going, just like he said it was. That's what they were saying. I think that's what he wants us to see right here. We come to the land which he sent us. It does. It flows with milk and honey. And here it is. However, God is good. God is powerful. I know he's sovereign, man. He created the heavens and the earth as I face my challenges and my problems. And I know with God all things are possible. And I know his love for me. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. Okay, so I'm not saying ignore reality. Right? I'm not saying that. But they underestimated, like we do at times, what God could do. They misunderstood what God could do, how quickly they forgot. They say, man, there's these powerful cities in there. They're like giants. They're stronger than us. We cannot overcome them. And they've forgotten that they had just been set free from the strongest nation in the world, Pharaoh's Egyptian empire. Just been set free. And they're going, yeah, no, man, we can't do this thing. They misunderstood and underestimated what God could do. Have you ever noticed? I know for me, maybe The longer you look at a problem, the bigger it gets. The longer that you look at a problem, the bigger it gets. I think that's true, too, when, like, you have an issue with somebody and, you know, well, somebody comes up to you and says, well, they said this, you know, and then you, man, you take off with that. They said that, well, that's all right. And they probably meant this, too. And then I bet they meant this, too. And I know they're the ones who thought this, and I bet they've told these people. And you are way down, like, hold on now. And you dwell, and you dwell, and you dwell, and you dwell, and it gets bigger and bigger and worse and worse. Same thing, too, in a marriage relationship. You know, we don't work it out, and you just kind of go to your neutral corners. Sometimes you have to go to neutral corners, but some you go to neutral corners, and you just dwell and dwell and dwell and dwell, man, until, right? So eyes of fear, letting fear dominate, drive you, cause that to happen. We look and we dwell at those problems, and it gets bigger than it really is. Here's the second thing. The second thing is they underestimated what they could do. Now, I say that, what God could do through them. Right? They underestimated what they could do, what God would do through them. You go back to Numbers chapter 13, and you see in verse 33, and there we saw the Nephilim. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seem to them, the NIV translates, in our own eyes, we seem like grasshoppers. And so we seem to them, right? They underestimated what they could do. Talk about a poor self-image, right? How they were seeing themselves. Well, we're just, man, we can't do it. We're so small. And we do that a lot of times. Ourselves. Well, I could never, oh, no, I could never teach that class. I could never work with those kids. I could never do this. I could never do, I could, man, I no, no, don't ask me. I could never. And we kind of disqualify ourselves based on what we have determined we can and cannot do. And certainly there's certain areas where you're gifted. Instead of recognizing that every single believer in Christ has been given spiritual giftedness, that God wants to use you and use those spiritual gifts to edify and build up the body, all right? New Testament biblical truth, to build up the body. And many times he wants to push you out of your comfort zone, to put you in that place. We have to depend on him as he uses you and through you. God does these amazing things. But a lot of times we don't even give him a chance because we're so afraid and we look with eyes of fear instead of eyes of faith. If you called me to do, you called me to this, God's spoken, this is the direction, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. I'm going to get out of the one foot at a time and I'm going to stand on that one. Instead of just, yeah, hey, you know, just like the Israelites, man, hey, this ain't going to happen. So we're going to wander for 40 years, man. Because we're just too scared, man. We can't do it. And of course, you know the story, the two that said we can are the two that went in, Joshua and Caleb. And then the last thing is they had the wrong perspective. That's kind of where this whole thing builds to, is what I started and finished with, is they had the wrong perspective, right? I'm not saying your problems aren't real. Please understand me. I'm not trying to downgrade or downplay what you struggle with or what is before you. I get overwhelmed at times, and I have to look intently into the Word of God, otherwise I will get overwhelmed and scared. So I have to listen and then do, to look intently and then do what God says in his word to help me then have the eyes to move from eyes of fear to eyes of faith. Problems don't defeat us. Perspective does. It discourages us and takes us out of the race, man. Because we're just seeing all the negative, we're just seeing all the things that might happen. We're worried about all the things that could happen. We're worried about all, and that just, we're not seeing well. And they had the wrong perspective. In verse 30, Caleb says, one who went in and came back after they gave the bad report, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once. Not even let's just think about it, man. Let's pray about it. Now, let's go up at once. Let's go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. I don't know about you. I'm with that dude. Hey, let's go right now. What are we waiting on? God said this is it. He said we can have it. Let's go. We can overcome. See, that's eyes of faith. And not eyes of fear, but he was depending on what God had declared even earlier. Ephesians 1:18, Paul prays, "I pray that the eyes of your heart will be open." It translates this: "May the eyes of may your eyes have a spirit of understanding. May you have the eyes of understanding." And I think what he's saying is, because he's praying, as he leading that, he's praying that they would see God for who he is. Right? And when you do that, you start to see things differently, man. You that fear leaves and you begin to look at those situations with eyes of faith. I pray that the eyes of your heart, so he's saying, I want you to see things with spiritual eyes as God sees these things. That's not going to happen apart from looking intently into the Word of God, from hearing and then doing the Word of God, to see better and to see well. And then we do. I finished with this. I want to read this to you, then we're praying together. As you do the Word of God, you know, ultimately it's between you and God, right? You know, it's not between me and you. It's your pastor. I'm going to encourage you and just teach you and come alongside you and encourage you to do the Word of God. But at the end of the day, so it's between you and God. It's not between you and me or you and anybody else. We do. We're doers because God calls us to be doers. So these things, there's action as far as doing after each one of these statements. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. But succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create it anyway. If you find peace and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy. Live in peace anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have. And some may say it's never enough, but give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it was never between you and them anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. Do good anyway. Let's pray together. Let's stand. Will you stand with me? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And Lord, I pray that we will be doers of your word. Regardless of what anyone else may do, we know it's between us and you. So we want to do good and to do right anyway, regardless of what is before us. To be doers of your word. So thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us. I am thankful for these people that are here this morning. I pray that you will bless them, God, as they seek to do your word, that all of us, that as we leave as doers, we see you working in us, through us. I pray for those who maybe there's something that's just on them. It might be financial. It might be a physical. It might be a relationship. It might be job or whatever that is causing them fear. God, I pray that today, help them to see well. Help us all to see better, God. As you see things, that they would see themselves as you see them. That we would see the mountains before us as you see them. Open the eyes of our heart today. What only you can do, God, I pray. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me also say, my friend, if you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, maybe you've never taken that step, I want to invite you. If God is drawing you to him today, I invite you to come. I'll be here at the front, other staff and elders, just to come, and we want to lead you in that prayer of salvation. Just like these who follow the Lord in believers' baptism, there was a point in their life where they surrendered their life to Christ. And if you've never made that decision, we invite you to come this morning, and we want to walk with you through that. There may be other things on your heart, and you want us to pray with you, or you want to come to the altar, or maybe just where you're standing, you're worshiping and praying. However the Lord leads you, Let's continue to worship Him this morning.